Welcome to CPA Spotlight, a look at the issues that impact CPAs, their clients, and their businesses from the Maryland Association of CPAs. Welcome back to CPA Spotlight, everyone. I'm Bill Sheridan. You know, the list of things that business executives need to worry about is long, and given our current financial crisis, it's getting longer by the minute. Consistently near the top of that list, though, is healthcare coverage for employees. It's getting really expensive these days for companies to provide healthcare for their workers, and of course, if you're a responsible executive, providing healthcare is just one of those things you want to do. So the question is, how do you do it in a way that's not going to kill you financially? We're going to take the next couple of weeks to talk to Rick Przinski about how companies can best manage their healthcare expenses. Rick is president of Richard J. Przinski & Associates. That's a Baltimore brokerage firm that designs innovative health benefit packages for small or large businesses. This week, Rick talks about small businesses and the issues they face when providing healthcare coverage for their employees. So let's listen in to what he has to say. Rick, what's causing the increased cost of healthcare for small businesses?
So, I mean, that's a good question, and I would say a couple things. Inherent for many years is this aspect of what we call cost shifting. And let's just take an example. If someone goes to the hospital, they start looking at their hospital bill, and they happen to notice that, you know, they had an aspirin and it cost them $5. And they're like, how can that be for one aspirin? Well, really, what that's all about is what we refer to as cost shifting, which is the people that have insurance are paying for those bills of people that go to the hospital and don't have insurance. And it's kind of cost shifted into the price of the insurance plan. So that's part of it. But there's some other aspects, particularly this past year. I think whether you believe this or not, you read the paper every day that smaller businesses are certainly cutting back on the comprehensiveness of their health plans. And what you also hear is that real small businesses are dropping their health plans. So what that translates to the insurance companies, we have less members insured. And what you're also seeing this year, what the insurance companies are telling us, is that their medical costs are going up. Now, part of that's inflation, but put that part aside, is that one of the things that historically you see happening quite a bit is that when unemployment goes up, medical costs go up. Now, why would that be? Well, I can only surmise that if I'm afraid that I might lose my job and lose my health insurance, and I've been putting off certain things just because it hasn't been convenient for me to seek out the care for those things, I might put them to the top of the list and start getting those things taken care of. So you're seeing a combination of those things, and I think that's driving costs more this year than it has in the past.
So what are some strategies that small business owners can use to keep those healthcare costs down? Are there any specific strategies or maybe some innovative tools that businesses can use to drive those costs down a little bit?
Well, in small group, it probably has to do more with plan design because you're really pool rated. And really what that means is that your particular group isn't being evaluated on your own experience. It's being evaluated based on the pool. So, you know, if it's a big pool, your particular group, it's hard to influence that pool one way or the other. Well, I think it's in plan design. So let me give you an example of something that our firm did about a little over 2 years ago. We went to a high deductible plan. We have an HMO plan, and we put a $1,200 single deductible and a $2,400 family deductible. And essentially, we funded that deductible, and we built that into our cost structure. But what's happened is the cost of those high deductibles was so less expensive than a plan that didn't have the deductibles that even after we funded it, you know, we've been into 2 years going into our third year, and even by funding a deductible and adding that back into our cost, we're still less expensive than we were 3 years ago when we didn't have a deductible on the plan. So really, those plans can really knock your costs down back 2 or 3 years. And so that's been a very effective strategy. And one of the things now that I see is that companies are looking at even higher deductibles. Let me just give an example. You have a $1,200 deductible, and now you're going to go to a $2,000 deductible. Usually the insurance company doesn't give you enough of a decrease in the premium structure to warrant doing that. But a lot of companies are getting very aggressive, and they're saying, well, you know what, we're going to take this risk, and we're going to buy the $2,000 deductible plan. And what they're saying to their employees, look, typically we raise your premiums once a year. And what they're now saying to employees, look, if the usage on those deductibles is higher than what we think it is, then we may come back to you in the course of the year and raise your prices even off renewal. So we see people strategizing on that as well.
What do small business owners really need to know about this stuff?
Well, each state's a little different. In Maryland, I think we are in what we call small group reform state, and really the only thing that affects your plan is the average age of your group that's enrolled in the plan. So what you really want to know is you really want to know what your average age is. So let me give you an example. Like these average age, they go in brackets. So let's pick Care First or Optimal Choice. Those brackets, let's pick one bracket. The most popular bracket that most people fall into is between 38 and 41.99. So if the average age of the enrolled employee falls into that category, that's the rate that you would get in that category. Well, if it goes one-tenth of a point higher to 42, your rate goes up by an average of about 15 to 17%. So if you're a small employer, the most important thing for you to do is make sure you understand what your average age is. The other thing is you really want to probably start thinking this out well in advance. So let me give you an example. We're almost in the month of December. If your renewal is in June of next year, typically most employers start looking at their renewal in April or May, anticipating a June renewal. I think you should start looking at it in January. Start looking at what your average age is. And the reason I say that is that if you have a 90-day waiting period before a new hire can come on your plan, if you start looking at it in April and you want to, you know, try to influence your average age, you may not have enough time to do that because of that 90-day waiting period. So I would start well in advance to understand what your average age is and understand where you want it to be at the renewal time for you to get the best pricing. I'd say the other thing is that, you know, in small groups, small employers, the rates are only given out in quarterly increments. So if I had a customer that was renewing in June and he said, I'm really worried about my health insurance, what do you think it will be? Well, I do have the rates for the first quarter, 09. So I could certainly tell you what the rates are going to be, January through March. But I certainly can make realistic projections of what that next quarter is going to go up by. It's typically going up by 4% a quarter. So it is possible for you today, if you're a small employer, to really realistically project out what your rates are going to be in June of 09. And again, I would get ahead of it well in advance.
So let's talk about the differences state by state for a second. What's the difference in providing health care for small businesses in say, D.C. or Virginia as opposed to Maryland?
Well, it still works on a pool basis, and it still works by average age. But probably the biggest difference is that in those states, they still medically underwrite people in the group to determine their ultimate rate. So in Maryland, we don't do that. So in Maryland, you look at a chart. You decide to sign up for a company's plan, there are no questions asked, and you know that the rate that you looked at is what the rate's going to be. In D.C., Virginia, Pennsylvania, all those plans, for the most part, are subject to what's called medical underwriting. So an insurance company gives you a rate, then they ask each employee to fill out a detailed medical information form. They look at the answers to the questions in their medical history, and then based on the risk of those medical conditions, they come up with an ultimate rate, which can vary by as much as, you know, 3 to 4 times what originally was quoted to you. So it's quite different in those states for small employers because, you know, getting a group of 25 employees to fill out detailed health questionnaires in its own right is a difficult thing to do. So it takes a little bit more preparation in those states and a lot more planning.
Let's talk about group insurance for a second and maybe some tips that small business owners may not know about group insurance.
Well, you know, the one thing about in small employers, in Maryland, you have a lot of flexibility. And I'll just talk about Maryland for a moment. I mean, the one thing about Maryland is remember that there are no medical questions asked of any employee. There's no pre-existing condition clauses. So as an example, if you don't have group insurance and all of a sudden you have a major condition and you want to go out and purchase it, there are no limitations. You can go out and purchase that tomorrow. The other thing is if you drop the coverage, although most people don't operate this way, but if you drop the coverage and then decide to come back in 3 months later, again, there's no restrictions to that. So, you know, you ought to be aware of that. I think the other thing to consider is if you are a small employer and all of a sudden, you know, you grow and the carrier comes back to you and says, you know, you're no longer a small employer. We want to put you into the large employer pool. The only thing I'll say is that you're not required to do that by law. The law says that if you're a small employer, you can actually stay in the small group pool. You just have to stay with the carrier that you're with when you become a large employer. You can't shift insurance carriers. There may be some advantages to you doing that, particularly if you're pending some large claims, because once you go into a large group, your claims experience starts affecting your rates. So I will just say for the purpose of this discussion, be aware of your rights and evaluate whether it's better to stay in small group or go into the large group pool.
So how do you decide which group to purchase coverage under when you choose between small and large?
Bill, it's the process, really. It's a process where when you go from small to large, there's a different process involved. The process is that the carriers require you as an employer to fill out what's called a risk assessment questionnaire, which is information about claims on your individuals. To the best of your knowledge, you have to answer questions about the health conditions of your employees. And there's other parameters that insurance companies look at, how much percentage of the premium you pay, the participation of the number of employees eligible, and how many people are actually in the plan. And when they look at all those parameters, they then come up with a rate for that first-year plan. Or they simply say, you know what, when we're looking at all those parameters, you really don't fit the profile that we're looking for. So that means they can actually decline quoting you. So the one thing you have to be careful of is that once you're no longer eligible for small group, it's possible that a large group insurer might not insure you. It's really a process. You need in those kind of situations, you really need a good broker to get you through that process, to look at the options in large group, see if there really are viable options, and let them get you through that maze of information.
Well, Rick Przinski, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
That was Rick Przinski, president of Richard J. Przinski & Associates, with a look at how small businesses can control their health care expenses. Next week, Rick and I will talk about how mid-size and large businesses can manage their health care dollars. Meanwhile, for more information, be sure to visit rjpassociates.com. Thanks for listening. For details about these and other issues that impact CPAs, contact the Maryland Association of CPAs at 1-800-782-2036 or visit us on the web at www.macpa.org.